بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, going through al-usulu thalatha, the three fundamental principles by al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, we went through the different types of worship and when these types of worship are shirk and when they are not a shirk. So we went through dua and khawf. Dua is supplication or requesting something. Khawf is fear. Raja is hope. Tawakkul is reliance. Raghba is desiring the reward. Rahba is dread. Khushu' is humility. Khashya is fear based upon knowledge. Inaba is to turn to Allah in repentance. Isti'ana is seeking assistance. Isti'adha, seeking refuge. Istighatha, seeking rescue. Al-dhabh is slaughtering. And another are vows which a person takes. And we went through all of these different types of worship and broke them up in different categories and different types. In this lesson, we come to the second principle, which is page number 9 in your booklets. The second principle, ma dinuka, what is your deen? And firstly, the word deen, when we're talking about deen within the Islamic sciences, it has two meanings. And the two meanings of the same word in Arabic are opposite meanings. So deen, it has two meanings, and both of these meanings are opposite to each other. Either the word deen can mean amal, actions. So the first meaning of a deen is actions. And the second meaning of the word a deen is reward and punishment for the actions. Say properly. Reward and punishment for the actions. So a deen has two meanings. Either it means the actions themselves, or it means the reward or the punishment for the actions. So for example, in the Quran, Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making their deen sincere for Allah, meaning making their actions sincere for Allah. And this ayah in Surah Al-Bayyinah. So in this ayah, ad-deen, it means actions. And then in another place in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner of the day of ad-deen. Mean the hereafter. But we know that in the hereafter, there's no actions. There's only reward for the actions or punishment for the actions. And that's why in English, when it's translated Yawmiddin, they say the day of recompense, i.e. the day of reward and punishment. So the first ayah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. The word deen here means actions. They were not ordered except that they should worship Allah alone, making their actions sincerely for Him. And the second ayah, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ. Allah is the owner of يَوْمِ الدِّينَ, i.e. the day of reward and punishment. So the second principle, meaning the second question that every person will be asked in the grave is, what is your deen? Meaning, what are your actions which you used to do? And the author, he says that this is knowledge of the religion of Islam with its proofs. So firstly, what is the meaning of Islam? Because often in da'wah, when people sometimes try to explain Islam to the non-Muslims, they say Islam means peace. And this is incorrect. Islam does not mean peace. Islam, it means submission. This is the linguistic meaning of Islam. Complete submission, complete submission. And the author said, Islam is to submit to Allah, meaning to have submission to Allah upon Tawheed, being consistent in His obedience, and disassociate oneself from shirk and its people. So we need to memorize this definition of Islam. Islam is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. This is the meaning of Islam. Istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. Istislam means complete submission lillahi for Allah with at-tawheed. This is the meaning of Islam. Istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. To submit to Allah in at-tawheed. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ And also to show obedience to him. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ And a person has to disassociate from shirk and the people of ash-shirk. So the definition of Islam has three parts. The first part is إِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلَّهِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ To submit to Allah with at-tawheed. Can a mushrik ever be a Muslim? No. It's not possible for a person of shirk to be a person of Islam. Because these are total opposites. Shirk is opposite to al-Islam. So it's not possible for a person of shirk to be a Muslim. Any person who does any of the major acts of shirk, then he isn't called a Muslim, he's called a mushrik. Just like you can't combine fire and water in the same utensil, you can't combine shirk and Islam together. Shirk, it negates Islam. And Islam, it negates a shirk. So this is the first thing. To submit to Allah with tawheed. Secondly, al-inqiyadu lahu bitta'a, you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person says, La ilaha illallah. I affirm the tawheed of Allah. I believe that He is the only creator. I believe He is the only one. But then he doesn't pray. And he doesn't fast. And he doesn't give zakah. And he does no actions at all. Then this person has not entered into Islam. Because Islam is firstly affirming your tawheed and then obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason you find in the Quran, we said previously, Allah does not mention the word tawheed in the Quran. But He mentions the word ibadah. And ibadah means a tawheed. And ibadah is actions. So tawheed is not just saying, La ilaha illallah. It is worshipping Allah alone. In order for a person to be a muwahid, a person of tawheed, he has to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most important action are the five daily prayers. And that's why the ulama, they differed that if a person leaves the five daily prayers out of laziness, just out of laziness, he believes it's wajib, but he abandons them out of laziness. Some of the ulama say this person is not even a Muslim. And this has been narrated by some of the sahaba. One of the sahaba, he said, مَا كُنَّا نَرَى الْعَمَلْ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرًا إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ He said, we never used to consider any action which abandoning it was kufr except the prayer. So the prayer is the first important action after أَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَٰهِ اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ It's not possible for a person to be a Muslim and then he has no regard for the prayer. The first action which you are asked about in the grave is your salah. The only action which was legislated direct from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without Jibreel in the middle was the salah. Every other action was legislated upon the earth. The salah was legislated above the seven heavens with the creator of the seven heavens and the earth. So we have to concentrate on the five daily prayers. So Islam is what? Number one, to submit to Allah with tawheed. Secondly, to be consistent in his obedience. And thirdly, to disassociate yourself from shirk and the people of ash-shirk. So it's not possible for a person to be upon tawheed and at the same time he loves the people of shirk. And he loves ash-shirk. And he takes part in the festivals of ash-shirk. And for this reason, when we talk about staying away, for example, from Christmas festivities or anything like this, we're talking about tawheed. This is tawheed and shirk here. This is the difference between tawheed and shirk. A person of tawheed doesn't take part in anything to do with Christmas. He has to hate it and hate every single festival of ash-shirk. So this is the meaning of Islam. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. It doesn't mean peace. It means complete submission to Allah with at-tawheed. Then this deen of ours, this deen, it has three levels. He said, the religion is three levels. First, al-Islam. This is the most basic level. Second, Iman, this is a higher level. And thirdly, Ihsan, which is the highest level of our deen. So this deen which Allah has legislated, he has three levels. Islam is the most basic level. Iman is a high level. And Ihsan is an even higher level. So what is Islam? Islam, which is the basic level of our religion, is to submit yourself to Allah in your actions and your statements. Meaning your apparent actions conform to Islam. So if a person says La ilaha illallah, and he prays the prayers, and he gives his zakah, and he fasts, and he does hajj, he's a Muslim. He has achieved the level of Al-Islam. According to what we know, according to what we can see, this person is a Muslim. And any person whose apparent actions, which we can see, conform to Islam, then we are not allowed to doubt his Islam. And we are not allowed to look into his heart or judge his intentions. Anybody who faces our Qibla and prays with us and fasts our month of Ramadan, then he is a Muslim according to what we can see. That which is in his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is allowed to call him a kafir unless he does something which necessitates kufr. So for example, if this person, although he prays the five prayers, but at the same time he's practicing magic and calling upon jinn and slaughtering in the name of jinn and going to the graves to worship around the graves, then this is kufr now. Now he's no longer Muslim. But we're not allowed to have any doubt regarding his Islam. If we see from somebody that his apparent actions, we don't know what's in his heart, but we know that he prays and he fasts and Ramadan and he says La ilaha illallah, then we can eat his meat. Now nobody is allowed to doubt whether his meat or whether he invites you to halal or haram. No certificate is needed. As long as he's a Muslim, that's enough for us. Also, when it comes to marriage, then the marriage is accepted and takes place. We don't need to judge this person or delve into his heart or his intentions. Then the next level is Iman. And Iman is not only the actions of the limbs, but also the Iman which is in the heart. Meaning, Al-Imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhiri wal qadru khayrihi wa sharrihi. And we'll go through them in later in detail. And then the highest level is Ihsan. And Ihsan is firstly the action of the limbs, and then the belief which is in the heart, a high level, and then that a person tries to perfect his worship. These are the three levels of our religion. The author said, each level has pillars. So Islam has certain pillars, and Iman has pillars, and Ihsan has a pillar as well. So how many pillars does Islam have? How many pillars? Naam? Five. Islam has five pillars. How many pillars does Iman have? Six. And Ihsan has one pillar, but this one pillar is two levels. So Islam has five pillars, Iman has six pillars, and Ihsan has one pillar, but this pillar has two levels. Then the first thing the author talks about is the pillars of the first level, i.e. the pillars of Al-Islam. He says, the pillars of Islam, and every Muslim has to know this, are five. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, pillar number one. Iqam as-salah, establishing the prayer, pillar number two. Ita'i zakah, paying zakah, the third pillar. Sawmi Ramadan, fasting Ramadan, the fourth pillar. Making hajj to the Kaaba, if you're able to do so, this is a fifth pillar. These five actions, and notice all of them are apparent actions. The shahada, you physically say it. The salah, you physically perform it. Zakah and Ramadan, hajj, all of them are physical actions. That's why we said Islam, the most basic level of our deen, are apparent actions. If anybody doubts the obligation of one of these five pillars, then he has left the fold of Islam. So if somebody doubts the obligation of salah upon him, or zakah, or Ramadan, or hajj, he says no. A person, for example, prays five times a day. He prays five times a day. At the same time, he says, but I don't believe that these five prayers are an obligation. This person is a kafir. Because these are the most basic core obligations of our religion, which are known by absolute necessity by every Muslim. So, the first pillar is shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Notice, both of these two shahadas, it's a single pillar. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadan Rasulullah. Both of them is a single pillar. This shows us
that if a person believes in Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah, but he doesn't believe in Shahadat Muhammad Rasulullah, he can never be a Muslim, because both of them are single pillar. For example, let's say we have a follower of Isa alayhi salam, a person, a Christian, and he says, I follow the religion of Isa alayhi salam. He says, I believe in complete Tawheed. I believe Isa is not the son of God. I believe Isa is the messenger of God. He doesn't do any shirk. So he believes in complete Tawheed. He believes there is only one Allah, there is only one God. He believes that Jesus is the messenger of God. He is not the son of God. All of this, he doesn't believe in the Trinity. He doesn't believe in Mary being God's mother and so on and so forth. So he says, I'm going to believe completely in Tawheed, but I want to follow the way of Isa alayhi salam. I'm going to follow his Sharia. I'm not going to follow the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This person has not entered into Islam. Although he completed Shahadatu Allah ilaha illallah, but the same pillar, the second half, he did not complete. He did not complete Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So both of these two things are a single pillar. There's no difference between them. Then the author, he starts giving evidences for every single pillar. So he said, the proof for the testimony, meaning the proof of the shahada, the proof of shahada to Allah ilaha illallah is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu wal malaika wa ulul ilm. He says, Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Him. And also the angels and the people of knowledge bear witness. There's two benefits from this ayah. And you can write these benefits down. The first benefit is the virtue of At-Tawheed. The first benefit we take from this ayah is the great virtue and the great status of At-Tawheed. Why? Because Allah is the one who bears witness to His own Tawheed. Look in this ayah. Shahid Allah annahu la ilaha illahu. Allah bears witness that none has a right to be worshipped except Him. So this shows us the virtue of At-Tawheed, because Allah Himself bears witness to His own Tawheed. And the second benefit from this is the virtue of the people of knowledge. Because Allah said in this ayah, Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Him, and the angels and the people of knowledge. So in this ayah, who have the tulab al-ilm, the students of knowledge and the people of knowledge, who have they been mentioned with? Along with the angels and along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is only for the people of knowledge. Only in this ayah, in this place in the Quran, Allah combines between Himself and His angels and the people of knowledge in a single ayah. So this shows us, firstly, the virtue of Tawheed and the call to Tawheed, because Allah bears witness to this and the angels bear witness to this. And secondly, the virtue of those who seek knowledge about At-Tawheed. And of course, there are many ayat in the Quran which prove to us that Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah is a pillar of Al-Islam. And this is one of those ayat. Okay, what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Who knows the meaning of La ilaha illallah in Arabic? Who knows the meaning of La ilaha illallah in Arabic? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. We need to all memorize this definition. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. Any of these definitions, if you miss them in the lesson, either ask me afterwards or ask the brothers. Between yourselves, those who know, just ask them, what is the definition of La ilaha illallah in Arabic? Some people, they make a mistake when they translate La ilaha illallah. They say La ilaha illallah means there is no God except Allah. Some of them say there is no creator besides Allah. And although all of these definitions are correct, but it is not the definition of La ilaha illallah. If we say that La ilaha illallah means there is no creator besides Allah, then that means Abu Jahl was a person of Tawheed, and Abu Lahab was a person of Tawheed, and all of the Quraysh are people of Tawheed, because all of them used to accept that the actual creator is Allah alone. We discussed this previously. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who created the heavens and the earth? فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ. They will say, surely it is Allah. So the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, all of these people, they should accept and believe that there is no creator besides Allah. But they rejected La ilaha illallah. So this shows us that La ilaha illallah did not mean there is no creator besides Allah. If La ilaha illallah meant there is no creator besides Allah, there's nobody who creates, there's nobody who there's no Raziq, there's no Malik, there's no provider besides Allah. The one who controls death is Allah, the one who controls life is Allah, the one who decrees everything is Allah. If this was the meaning of La ilaha illallah, then the Quraysh would not have rejected La ilaha illallah. They would have accepted it. Because they knew that this is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. If we say La ilaha illallah means there is no God beside Allah, even that's not true. Why? Because there are people who take Jesus to be a God. They say Jesus is our God. There are people who take the sun and the moon to be gods. There are people who take the idols to be gods. So there are gods besides Allah, but all of these gods are false gods. And the true God is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even saying La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, then even that is not correct. And this is a big error in translation, especially early on when La ilaha illallah used to be translated. In some of the translation, they used to say La ilaha illallah means there is no God except God. Especially this is when the non-Muslims used to translate La ilaha illallah, they used to translate it as there is no God except God. And this is incorrect. So what does La ilaha illallah mean? La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no deity, no God, no entity worthy of being worshipped in truth except Allah. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda, there is no deity or entity or God worthy of worship bihaqqin, in truth, illallah, except Allah. And this also shows the mistake of some of the groups that when they say, yes, we call to Tawheed, if you ask them, which Tawheed do you call to? They say, we call the people that they have to believe Allah is the Khaliq and Allah is the Malik and Allah is the Raziq. This is not the Tawheed which the Prophet called to. Because if this was the Tawheed, then as I mentioned, the Quraysh would have accepted it. And how do we know that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah? Even the Quraysh understood this. Even Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab understood that La ilaha illallah means that you cannot worship anybody else besides Allah. For this reason, what did they say? Allah narrates in the Quran that they used to say, has Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made all of our gods into a single god? Inna hadha li shayn ujab. This is something which is very strange. That they didn't accept this. They used to believe that Allah is the creator, but then they used to worship different deities as an intercession to Allah. And then he says, the meaning of the shahada, i.e. la ilaha illallah, it is none has a right to be worshipped except Allah. Then he mentions that la ilaha illallah has two pillars. La ilaha illallah has two pillars, and both of these pillars have to be fulfilled. Who knows both of the pillars of la ilaha illallah in Arabic? Who knows? An-nafi wal-ithbat. How many times have we done this in class? An-nafi wal-ithbat. An-nafi, write it down. So the first pillar of La ilaha illallah is an-nafi. An-nafi. And the second pillar of La ilaha illallah is ithbat. Ithbat. An-nafi, it means you have to reject and disbelieve and negate something. And ithbat means you have to believe and affirm something. So La ilaha illallah, it contains a rejection, a nafi, and it contains an affirmation, al-ithbat. So when we say La ilaha illallah, which thing do we have to reject? Which thing do we have to negate? Which thing? Now, we have to negate the false deities. La ilaha. There is no other God worthy of worship. So first you have to negate that any other deity or God or person or entity is worthy of worship. Then what do we affirm? Accept Allah. Then we affirm our worship for Allah. So look, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha is an-nafi. You're rejecting the worship of all of those other gods. Illallah, accept Allah, you are now affirming and establishing your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the author mentions two ayat, and there are many ayat in the Quran. He mentions two ayat which prove that La ilaha illallah has these two pillars. Naam. So the first of these ayat is when Allah said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ. When Ibrahim said to his father and his people, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I free myself from that which you worship. So look, the first thing Ibrahim said is he negated, he rejected. He said, I free myself from everything which you worship. He freed himself and he rejected and he disbelieved in all of the false deities. Then he said, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Except he who created me. So then he affirmed his worship of the one creator. So look in this ayah, in surah number 43, the La ilaha illallah which Ibrahim alayhi salam he mentioned was that which contains two pillars. Firstly, an-nafi la ilah. Innani bara'u mimma ta'budu. I free myself from whatever you worship. I reject every god and every deity which you worship. Then, illa alladhi fatarani, except the one who created me, meaning illallah. This is the meaning of la ilaha illallah. And then in the second ayah, there is also an evidence, and that is, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, O people of the book, تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come to a word which is just between us and between you. He said, أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we do not worship anybody besides Allah. And this is an affirmation. We do not worship except Allah, meaning we only worship Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And we do not associate partners to him. So, once again, in this ayah, there is also a proof for La ilaha illallah having two pillars, and nafi and ithbat. Where is the ithbat? Where is the affirmation that Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, O people of the book, تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come to a common word between us and you. Allah na'buda illallah, that we do not worship anybody besides Allah. Meaning first, affirm your worship of Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And we do not ascribe partners to Allah. Meaning reject all of the other partners and all of the other false deities. So also, this ayah, it is an evidence that La ilaha illallah, it has two pillars, al-nafi and al-ithbat. And this also shows the mistake of some of the groups when they say that we're going to call to Tawheed, but we're not going to warn against a shirk. Because if we warn against shirk, then we are dividing the ummah. And it's enough for a person to call to a Tawheed, and this is not correct. If you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his da'wah contained calling to Tawheed and warning against a shirk. If you look at the ayat of the Quran, like these ayat we mentioned, it contains calling to Tawheed and warning against a shirk and warning against the people of a shirk. So La ilaha illallah is not complete if we don't warn against shirk as well. And this is why we learn about the proofs of Tawheed, and we also learn about the doubts of shirk and the different types of shirk. So we can call to Tawheed and we can warn against a shirk. Then after this, he mentions the evidence for the second shahada. He said, the proof for the testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah is the ayah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, there has come to you Allah's messenger from amongst you, unknown to you. It grieves him that you should suffer. He is eager and anxious for the guidance of those of you who are astray, and that they should repent to the end of the ayah. The main thing here is, what is the meaning of أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. There are two names which we give to the Prophet, that he is Abdullah and he is Rasulullah. And these two names contain the two ranks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first rank is عُبُودِيَّة, Abdullah, عُبُودِيَّة. And the second rank is Rasulullah, رَسُولُهُ, Rasulullah. عُبُودِيَّة meaning he was a worshipper of Allah. This is the first rank of the Prophet. When we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, he is the abd of Allah, meaning he is the worshipper of Allah. So if the Prophet is the worshipper of Allah, then we cannot worship him. We have to worship the one he used to worship. And secondly, we have to worship Allah like he used to worship Allah. So this word, Abdullah, when we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abd of Allah. It contains two benefits. First of all, the one who worships, he's not allowed to be worshipped. You have to worship the one who he worships, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this refutes those people who direct any type of ibadah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he himself was abd. He isn't ma'bud. Allah is ma'bud. La ilaha illallah, he said, la ma'bud bihaqin illallah. There is none who is worthy of worship except Allah. Allah is al-ma'bud. The Prophet, he's only abd. He's only a worship of Allah. So we don't worship him. We don't direct any dua to him. We don't ask him for guidance. But we ask the one who he used to ask. We make dua to the one who he used to make dua, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a refutation of the people direct worship to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, he's Abdullah. He used to worship Allah. So we have to worship Allah like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped Allah. And this is a refutation of the people of innovation. Those people of innovation who innovate acts of ibadah, when we say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abdullah, it goes against them. The reason why the Prophet was sent to worship Allah, so we can follow him how he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second rank is Ar-Risala, he's Rasulullah, meaning he was sent with the message and he's a messenger who is to be followed and obeyed. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, it contains four pillars. We said La ilaha illallah contains two pillars, An-Nafi wal-Ithbat. Muhammadun Rasulullah contains four pillars. Those two pillars of La ilaha illallah, if you don't fulfill them, then you haven't fulfilled Tawheed. You haven't fulfilled La ilaha illallah. And Muhammadun Rasulullah has four pillars. If you don't fulfill these four pillars, then you have not fulfilled Muhammadun Rasulullah. So what are the first four pillars? Or what are the four pillars? He said, number one, to obey him in whatever he commands. The first pillar of Muhammadun Rasulullah is ta'atuhu fima amar. You have to obey him in everything which he commanded. Secondly, to accept everything which he informed us of. All of the previous stories which the Prophet told us about, you have to accept that it's complete truth. Anything that the Prophet prophesied about the future, like the coming of the Dajjal and the signs of the hour and the sun rising from the west and setting in the east and all of these things, and the Mahdi and Ya'juj and Ma'juj and all of the signs of the hour, you have to accept. Everything which the Prophet tells us about Ilmul Ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, how Jannah is, how Jahannam is, what is going to happen in the grave, all of these things you have to accept. Thirdly, to avoid everything which he forbade. This is the third pillar. You have to stay away from those things which he forbade. And fourthly, that you only worship Allah according to his way. You only worship Allah according to the way which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worshipped Allah. So when people innovate new types of ibadah, it doesn't mean that they have left Islam, because it's only innovations, but it is a deficiency in Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So they haven't invalidated it, so they're still Muslims, but they are deficient in how much they follow and love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Notice these four things. These are the four pillars of Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. You have to accept everything which he informed. You have to obey everything which he commanded. You have to avoid everything which he forbade. And you worship Allah as he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shows us, brothers and sisters, that the people of Tawheed, the people of the Sunnah, they have to be the people, we have to be the people who most closely follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people of Tawheed can't be the people who are the laziest when it comes to Salah. The people of Tawheed can't be the people who don't keep their beards. The people of Tawheed, if it is the women, it can't be the women who are negligent when it comes to hijab. The people of Tawheed, they have to be the people who recite the Quran. The people of the Tawheed, they have to be the people who come to the masjid. The people of Tawheed, they have to be the people who fast. They have to be the people who are seeking knowledge. So this is the meaning of the people of Tawheed. It isn't correct that the people of Tawheed are the weakest when it comes to practicing. They are the ones who don't dress properly. They are the ones who are shaving their beards. They are the ones who are not coming to the masjid. They don't know anything about Al-Islam. And yet, those people who have bid'ah with them and those people who have shirkiyat with them, they are the ones who are in the masjid, they are the ones who are reciting the Qur'an, they are the ones who have the princes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This isn't correct. So we have to complete these four things. The people of Tawheed, the people of the Sunnah, they have to obey what the Prophet commanded with. They have to accept what the Prophet informed. They have to avoid everything which the Prophet forbade. And they have to worship Allah as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped Allah. And then finally we finish with this. Then the author, he mentions the evidences for the other four pillars of Islam. He said the proof for the Salah and the Zakah is the saying of Allah. They were not commanded except that they should worship Allah alone, making their worship and obedience purely for Him, upon the true religion, free from shirk, and that they should establish the salah and the zakah. The evidence for the fasting is the saying of Allah, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed as an obligation for you, the ayah. The evidence of hajj is the saying of Allah, and hajj to the sacred house of Allah is an obligation upon you, the ayah. So the point is that these are the five pillars of al-Islam, and Islam is the most basic level of our religion. If anybody denies the obligation of these, one of these five pillars, then he has left the fold of Islam. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.